followed my mom down the hall. I can see why you wanted to switch books, by the way. Crime and Punishment is disturbing.
I know. I sense nightmares. I'm not as tough as you, he said.
Didn't you just call me a wimp the other day?
A wimp about some things, not others.
Wow, thanks, he chuckled.
No problem.
Mom had made chicken and rice, and four plates sat on the table, where my grandpa waited.
Cooper,
Grandpa said.
Again.
Cooper smiled.
You sick of me, Grandpa Dave? Always,
Grandpa said. Mom swatted the air near Grandpa. He's kidding. He's not, I whispered at the same time my grandpa mouthed, I'm not. Cooper let out a single laugh.
It's kind of creepy how you two are the same person,
he said, looking between Grandpa and me. Except he's 100 years older. How's the list coming? Mom asked, loading up a plate and handing it to me. Cooper made me ride on a quad in the dunes. I'm not sure how much depth that gave me, but it was an experience. I was about to talk about how terrifying it was, but pressed my lips together. Mom had stopped scooping rice mid-scoop. Frozen. I changed my tone. It was fun. Cooper is a professional, so it wasn't really scary at all. Cooper laughed, taking the plate full of food in front of me and sliding it in front of him.
Right. You should have seen her.
I grabbed hold of his knee under the table and dug my fingers around it. He shot me a look, but then noticed my mom.
She did great,
he said, with hardly a pause.
We took it slow.
Grandpa sighed as if he knew what we were doing. Finally, my mom snapped out of her daze. That's great, hun. That's definitely a new experience. Next time, will you run risky activities by me first? Yes, sorry.
I kind of sprang it on her. She wasn't sure what we were doing. Sorry, Mrs. Turner.
Mom smiled at Cooper. It's okay. I know you're careful. If she had seen how careful he was, she would never trust him with me again. Grandpa retrieved the plate my mom was extending and then said,
Didn't you promise Abby a walk to the park after dinner today, Susan?
This was his way to push my mom, because I certainly hadn't, with our downplayed ride. I shot him a look, but then smiled at Mom, because it was true. She had promised.
We can all go,
Grandpa said. Mom's lips formed a tight line. She finished filling the last plate, then sat down. Yes, I did promise. That sounds good. I wasn't sure what it was about having Cooper with us that made my mom more relaxed. Maybe it was his general happy nature, or maybe she sensed that he feared nothing, so she didn't need to either. Whatever it was, when he was there, our success rate at getting my mom out the door was almost as high as when my dad was around. Grandpa and I walked arm in arm, trailing Mom and Cooper. Cooper was doing most of the talking, like I generally did when I walked with my mom. But she was looking up more, laughing more, not hesitating as much. I couldn't hear what they were talking about, but I'd ask him later so I could pick up a few pointers.
How was your quad ride, really?
Grandpa asked me. Terrifying, I said. Too fast.
That's what I thought.
He patted my arm.
And did it give you newfound depth?
It actually gave me an idea for one of my paintings.
That's great. So does that mean you're going to be racing on the dunes alongside Cooper next week?
Not on your life.
How are you going to retaliate?
You mean, what fear am I going to make him face?
Yes.
No idea. We arrived at the park, and my mom sat on a bench. I chose a swing close by, Cooper taking the one right next to me. Grandpa stood behind me and gave me a push. You're surprisingly strong for your age, I said.
I'm strong for any age.
I pushed myself higher with a pump of my legs.
Which classics did you end up picking?
Grandpa asked. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, I yelled out from the top of my swing.
A tale of two cities,
Grandpa said.
Good choice. About two vastly different realities existing at the same time. And what about you?
Grandpa turned to Cooper, who was twisting in his swing, the chain getting tighter and tighter.
Crime and Punishment?
About a man getting away with murder. Or does he? Our internal judge can be the worst punishment of all.
Don't tell us the end, Grandpa. He laughed.
I haven't.
I glanced over at Mom as my swing slowed to a stop. She was intently taking in our surroundings.
What's next on the list?
She asked when she noticed me looking. Cooper lifted his feet and began spinning violent circles as the chain unraveled.
Dizzy,
he said when he planted his feet again. What's next on our list, Cooper? I asked. He groaned.
We're trying out for a musical tomorrow.
Grandpa raised his eyebrows and said,
Really?
As if he thought it was a horrible idea. I grunted. It's a new experience. A buzzing noise sounded from Cooper's pocket, and he pulled out his phone. A smile played on his lips. When he looked up, I nodded at his phone, asking him who it was. He just shook his head and started spinning the swing again. As we headed back to the house, my mom arm in arm with Grandpa this time, I leaned over to Cooper and whispered, Who are you texting with?
Remember that girl I met at the outdoor movie a couple of weeks ago?
I?
He smiled.
No, Riss.
Oh, right. Riss. Yes, I remember her. I had hoped he hadn't, that she was quickly forgotten. Apparently not.
It was just her. We've texted a few times.
Oh, cool.
I think you'd like her.
I was sure I wouldn't. Yeah, bring her to one of our outings sometime and I'll see.
I will.
When we got to my house, he went straight to his car. Your book is inside, I said.
I'll get it tomorrow.
He drove away and I watched him go, trying to ignore the sinking feeling in my chest. 11. That night, I pulled out a painting I had done over a year ago. It was Cooper on a quad, flying over the sand dunes. It was good, realistic, but that was it. I studied the painting, remembered the fear that had coursed through me when I was in the same position, and set out to alter what I'd created. I tried to mask its portrait feel and make it more dramatic, more shadows, more sand flying, more expression. I didn't refer to a real picture while working out the details on his face. I didn't care so much if it was true to life, just that it was real. I stood back and glanced up at the wall clock. 3 hours had passed. It hadn't felt that long. My hands were covered in paint. Black and deep blue streaked along all my knuckles. I used a clean corner of my paint shirt to wipe a blob I could feel under my eye. And then I assessed what I had done. It was different. There was emotion on Cooper's face that didn't exist in the picture this was based off, along with steeper dune angles and misty sand flying and much more shadow. I wasn't sure if all this made it better or just different. I wasn't sure if I was better. The doubt that had lodged in my chest with Mr. Wallace's summary of my work had built a sturdy nest there that wasn't going to be easily disassembled. I dropped my paintbrushes in the jar and went to clean up.
I can't believe you talked me into doing this, Cooper said.
We were sitting in the red velvety seats of an auditorium with 100 other people. They all held some sort of paper, and I stretched up to try and see what it was. What do they have? I whispered. We don't have anything. Cooper looked around, too. as if my mention of it made him realize that people were, in fact, holding papers. He was taller than me, so he had a better view.
"Sheet music?"
he said, as if not sure his guess was right.
"It looks like sheet music."
Were we supposed to bring our own sheet music to try out with?
"Obviously,"
he said.
"I guess that means we should leave."
He moved to stand, and I grabbed hold of his arm, pulling back down. "We are not leaving." The click-clack of heels echoing through the room drew my attention to the stage in front of us, where Lacey now stood. I gave a small hum of surprise.
"What?"
Cooper asked. "Lacey Barnes is here, and apparently in charge."
"And that surprises you?"
"I guess not. She is the star of a commercial."
"And almost every single one of our school plays."
"I guess I should watch more school plays." Lacey cleared her throat and spoke. "Welcome, everyone. We're so excited to have you. I'm Lacey Barnes, assistant director of The Music Man this year. Thank you all for coming out. We'll be starting soon. Our pianist today will be Mac Lawrence." She gestured to the piano on the floor in front of the stage, and a man stood up and waved. Everyone clapped, and I joined in. "Myself and Jana Keller, the director, will be sitting at that long table back there, so make sure you project." She smiled, then held her arms out to the sides. "If I could get the guys to come up the stairs and gather behind the curtain stage left and the ladies stage right, we can get started." Everyone stood and filed up a set of stairs on either side of the stage.
"I'm thinking of a proper punishment for you after this,"
Cooper said. "You'll be fine. You love the spotlight."
"Not this kind,"
he said, right before we separated and joined our respective groups on opposite sides. Lacey saw me and walked quickly over.
"I thought that was you," she said. "I didn't know you liked theater. Be honest, was it my amazing British monologue at the library?"
"Yes, so inspiring."
"That's what I thought," she smirked.
"Speaking of that amazing monologue, why aren't you starring in this thing?" I asked.
"My acting coach suggested trying all the different aspects of theater as a form of growth. That's exactly how she said it, too."
"I figured." She laughed.
"Here's to growth."
"So," I said, before she expected too much from my audition, "this isn't my thing, and I didn't know I needed to bring music." Girls were trying to walk around Lacey and me to get backstage, so she pulled me to the nearest corner.
"That's okay. People who don't bring their own music get to sing Happy Birthday."
"Nice."
"Did I see Cooper Wells, too? Did you guys come together?"
"Yes." She wiggled her eyebrows.
"Oh, no. Not together like that.
We're just friends." We both looked across the stage to where Cooper stood staring at us, like he found it weird to see us talking.
"You don't keep someone who looks like that in the friend zone for too long," Lacey said.
"Yes, I do. I mean, no, I don't want... didn't want to. He... it's complicated." "Please don't repeat that," I added, realizing I'd just revealed more to her than I ever had to Rachel.
"I have no idea what you just said, so I will gladly not repeat it."
"Thank you." She gestured over her shoulder.
"I'd better go. Someone has to run this thing."
"Okay."
"Break a leg,"
she said, and was off. The next hour went by like someone had pushed a fast-forward button. Lacey would call people out one by one to sing. She and the director would take notes, and then the next person would be up. Cooper went out before me. I thought he would be nervous, but he smiled at the judging table.
"I didn't bring music," he said. "But I can sing some Metallica if you want, or a little MJ."
I held in my laugh.
"Happy birthday is fine," Lacey said.
He nodded, and the piano gave a frilly intro. Then Cooper sang. A few of the girls standing near me giggled. One behind me said,
"He's nice to look at.
but not good on the ears. I didn't think his voice was all that horrible. It wasn't like the other guys we'd heard, who were polished and perfect, but he could carry a tune. When he got to the part where he had to insert a name, he sang Lacey. I peeked around the corner to see her smile at that. When the piano played its last note, Cooper bowed and left the stage. Finally, it was my turn. I'd been the one to suggest this, and now my palms were sweating, my heart racing. A spotlight I hadn't noticed before shone right in my eyes. I tried to look at Lacey and the director, but I couldn't see them through the bright haze. I held up my hand to block some of the light. Lacey gave me the thumbs up. I need to sing Happy Birthday, too. Without another word, the piano began its opening notes. I dropped my hand and let the light take over my vision. I always thought I was a better singer than Cooper, but there on the big stage in the middle of the even bigger theater, my voice was swallowed whole. I tried to sing louder, but I was already forcing my voice, so it cracked. I was so happy when I sang the last "You," I rushed off stage.
"Good job," the girl who'd been mocking Cooper said.
"Really?" I asked. "You were kind of quiet, but you have a nice voice."
"Thanks."
A surprising feeling of happiness coursed through me. I peered across the stage to the other side to see if I could get a glimpse of Cooper. He was standing there, beaming, and the happiness in my chest expanded even further. When all the singing was done, we were handed reading parts we had to perform. It felt like we'd been there all day, listening to people with varying degrees of talent read, when finally Lacey dismissed us. She handed out a paper that explained the callback process, and everyone filed toward the doors. I hooked my arm in Cooper's, and we headed to the exit.
"That was torture,"
he said.
"It wasn't that bad.
It was something new. Something I'd never tried before. And it pushed me outside my comfort zone to feel nerves I hadn't felt in a while."
"You have a good singing voice,"
he said to me. "Thanks."
"I don't think I realized that before."
"Abby!" Lacey ran down the aisle toward us. Cooper and I turned to face her. "Hey," she said, when she stopped in front of us. "I wanted to tell you about a small barbecue I'm having at my house for the 4th. You should come, both of you." I'd actually heard about Lacey's parties. There was nothing small about them. She lived in a huge house and threw even bigger parties. We'd never been invited, though. Cooper looked at me. "We always watched the fireworks on the pier for the 4th of July, and I wondered what he thought about this change of itinerary." I said, hesitating. Cooper didn't say a word, obviously leaving this decision up to me.
"There will be people and food and fireworks. It'll be fun," she added.
Maybe I could count it as something from my list. The one about strangers or trying something new. I had to think of 5 of those after all. "Okay."
"Really?"
Cooper said under his breath, and I elbowed him. Lacey took the paper I held about callback information and wrote her name and number on it. "Text me and I'll give you my address and stuff."
"Okay."
Cooper held his tongue until we'd waved goodbye and were outside.
"Are you and Lacey friends now?"
"No, I hardly know her." We hadn't had a new friend join our group since it originally formed. We all got along too well and were too comfortable with one another to try and force an expansion.
"So no pier this year?"
he asked. "Rachel and Justin aren't here, so it will already be different. We don't have to stay at her party long if you don't want to." He shrugged.
"Maybe we should. Maybe I'll bring a date."
I tried to keep my voice casual when I said, "You might want to ask Lacey first."
"If she's just going around inviting random people, I'm sure she'd be fine with it."
"Random people?"
"No offense."
I laughed. "Well, too late. Offense already taken."
"You know what I meant."
He paused for a moment.
I wonder if she got a lifetime supply of Zit cream from that commercial.
I pushed him. You're a dork. With late afternoon light shining through the windows of my art room later that day, I started a perspective piece, the view from the stage. Again, I tried to go just from my memory and how I had felt. It had been so hot up there on stage, and bright. The light shining in my eyes basically blinded me. I squeezed a large amount of yellow and white onto my palette. I mixed a bit of each color and blotted it onto the middle of the canvas, making a quarter-size spotlight. I squeezed out some red and cream, some black and brown for the chairs and people and stage that would surround that spotlight, and got to work. The window in the room had grown dark, and now only my lamp lit the painting. I moved to the switch and turned on more overhead lights to assess my progress. It was wrong. There was something wrong with it. Too many chairs. Too many eyes from too many people looking forward. That's not how I had felt on the stage. I had seen hardly any chairs and almost no eyes. I swiped a clean brush through more yellow and white. I pulled out the light from the spotlight wider and wider. I streaked it across the chairs. The not dry red mixed with the white and yellow and made orange swirls on the outside. The side of me that had obviously always loved my paintings to reflect reality almost painted more yellow over it, but I stopped myself. It was interesting movement. The spotlight in the center now made it almost impossible to see the surrounding chairs or people watching or edge of the stage. It took over the painting. My eyes were tired. They had been straining too long. I resisted the urge to rub them with my paint-covered hands. I wasn't quite done with the painting, but it was time to call it a night. I stepped back, but then stopped, when I noticed a face in the few that remained just outside the spotlight. I leaned closer and squinted. It was my mother. I painted my mother into my painting without even realizing it. My mother. The least likely person to be in that auditorium today. 12. What about her? I asked Grandpa as we pushed a cart through the produce section. Grandpa was squeezing nectarines and placing only a select few into the clear bag he held.
That woman? You want to know her story?
Why not?
I'm just wondering why all the people you are pointing out are women in their 60s.
He tied the top of the bag in a knot and added it to the cart. Grandpa always tried to set me up, and I always tried to set him up. And we both never actually agreed to the setup. It was our thing. No reason, I hummed. He pushed the cart forward.
That's what I thought. Your list isn't a matchmaking opportunity for me. It's a growth opportunity for you.
I don't see why it can't be one and the same. Grandpa bonked me on the head with a red pepper and added it to the cart.
Let's not mess up the dynamics of our already precariously balanced home.
Precariously balanced? We have a perfectly balanced home.
Exactly.
No, I huffed. That's not what I meant. I meant that we are lovely people and can add another lovely person to our mix. Grandpa stopped the cart near a bin of apples and turned toward me.
Now that you're 13, we need to have a serious conversation.
I knew he was throwing an age joke at me to counterbalance the ones I always threw at him, so I chose not to react. You want to have a serious conversation in the middle of the produce section?
What better place?
I don't know. Maybe a more private aisle? Like the cleaning products. That aisle is always empty. Nobody buys their cleaning products at a grocery store. Grandpa didn't give a sarcastic rebuttal, only folded and unfolded the grocery list he had brought. That's when I realized this wasn't a joke. He really wanted to have a serious conversation with me in the middle of the produce section. I looked around. There were only a few people picking through a vegetable bin. I lowered my voice. What is it?
Your mother was supposed to go to the store today. It was her turn.
Oh, I thought he was going to talk about meeting someone, but this was about my mom. I know.
She hasn't left the house for more than a walk to the park in weeks.
I know. I think she needs to find a friend or two. It always used to help. I hadn't thought of it before recently, because she seemed fine. But now that she was headed in the wrong direction, I knew she needed something. He pressed his lips together, then said,
"She needs to see a professional."
What?
If she won't leave the house, we'll bring one to her. I've been trying to get your father on board with this idea for a couple of years now, but he isn't having it. You know your dad, alpha male.
My dad isn't like that, I said, feeling a little defensive. Grandpa shook his head.
Your dad is a great guy. I've always liked him. But he doesn't want to admit she needs help.
Is it really that big of a deal that she doesn't leave the house? In the house, she is lovely and happy. Everyone had their weird idiosyncrasies. Just because hers was different from everyone else's didn't mean we were hanging by a thread.
I think it's something she needs to work on.
But if Dad doesn't...
You don't think she needs to work on it?
The image of my mom's face in my theater painting flashed through my mind as an uneasy feeling settled in my stomach. Maybe, deep down, I did know that. Even wanted it. I shook away the image. Sometimes I do. But most of the time, I'm just happy she's my mom.
Maybe if you talk to your dad about how little she goes out.
I don't like to worry him. He already feels so guilty when he's gone. He gets home so soon. Can't we just wait and see how she does when he's home? She really was so much better when he was home. It was like he pushed some sort of reset button on her.
Like I said, precariously balanced,
Grandpa said under his breath, and set the cart in motion again, heading toward the dairy row. Don't be mad at me, Grandpa. He flashed me a smile.
I could never be mad at you, hon. I'll work on your dad. You just be their daughter.
You just need to relax, Gramps. Everything will be fine. It had to be. She was fine. We were all fine.
Did you ever make callbacks for that play you tried out for the other day?
Grandpa asked. I shook my head. No, we were horrible at acting. Pretty much everyone there, even the little children, was better than Cooper and me.
That's probably not true, but it's good you know your weaknesses.
Yes, I have many.
What about him?
Grandpa asked. We had turned down the soup and canned vegetable aisle, and my grandpa was pointing to a guy studying soup cans at the end. At first, I thought he was asking if he was one of my weaknesses, so I was confused.
Maybe you should learn his story,
he said. I thought my list wasn't a matchmaking opportunity, but a growth opportunity.
I thought one of the items on your list was to fall in love.
I choked on my own spit when I sucked in a quick breath. Shh! I hissed between coughs. He had said that so loud! The guy looked over, probably because of my coughing fit, not because of my grandpa's loud declaration, but it was impossible to know. We took a few steps closer, and I realized I knew him. Relief poured through me.
Hey, Abby,
Elliot said.
I don't see you for a month, and then we see each other twice in 2 weeks.
I know. What are the odds? Elliot looked at my grandpa and I said, Oh, Grandpa, this is Elliot Garcia. Elliot, Grandpa.
My name is Dave,
Grandpa said, extending a hand. Right. I always forget you have a name, I said.
My granddaughter is sarcastic.
I smiled. Don't get all self-righteous. I learned it from you. Elliot laughed.
Nice to meet you.
Isn't it too hot for soup? I asked, nodding to the cans in front of him.
My mom's out of town, and my dad cooks like...
He paused for a moment before he finished with...
Someone who doesn't know how to cook. I was going for a really cool comparison there, but I couldn't think of anything.
A monkey in an apron? I said.
An angry porcupine?
Grandpa suggested. A porcupine? I asked. The comparison has to have opposable thumbs so that it might actually have the ability to cook. Like a monkey.
An angry porcupine. I thought it could use its quills like skewers.
Oh, right. I see what you were going for now. Elliot smiled.
I know who to come searching for when I need similes now.
Speaking of weird idiosyncrasies, my grandpa and I had just proven my mom wasn't the only one who had them. Well, we'll see you around then, I said, taking hold of the cart and steering it around Elliot, feeling the need to escape any more embarrassment.
Abby,
he called after me. Yeah?
Are you going to Elise's 4th of July party?
Yes, actually.
Cool. I'll see you there.
Maybe Cooper was right. Lacey was just inviting whatever random people she ran into.
Well, there you go,
Grandpa said after we were out of hearing range. Thank goodness.
You can all but check the fall in love item off your list.
Funny, I said. And no.
We don't like him? He seemed great, and he found you amusing too, which is a good sign.
You just like him because he found you amusing.
That didn't hurt.
Grandpa took control of the cart from me and pushed it toward the registers.
We better get going.
I hooked my arm in his elbow, my mind wandering back to our produce section talk. You're not too worried about Mom, are you?
She'll be fine.
Are you sure?
As sure as the sunrise.
I furrowed my brow. Is that an old person saying? He grunted.
That is the saying of a person who has lived a lot longer than you.
Exactly. A thought came to me. You are a genius.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
No, you just gave me the best idea for my list. I can do it first thing tomorrow. And I'd force Cooper to join me. 13. It was an unearthly hour, and my body screamed at me along with my alarm the next morning. Who set their alarm in the summer anyway? I thought about hitting snooze and forgetting my plans. But I knew I couldn't. I was already behind in completing my experiences if I wanted to finish my list before Mr. Wallace picked the final artists. And since I hadn't found a stranger to accost the day before, I needed to do something else from the list to stay on track. It was 4 in the morning, still dark outside. Cooper would probably kill me if he knew what I had planned. Or not come. That's why I wasn't going to text him. It would be easier for him to refuse a text. I would just show up at his house. I left a note for my mom on the counter and quietly lifted the keys off the hook by the front door. Nobody in Cooper's house was awake either. The porch light was still on and all the windows still dark. I decided it was best to let myself in through his window, like I sometimes did. I hoped he hadn't taken to locking it. He had a window facing the front of the one-story house, a fact his parents really should have been more concerned about, knowing Cooper. However, they apparently still hadn't even noticed there was no screen. That had been taken off 2 years ago, when he set up a middle-of-the-night game of parking lot bowling with Justin and a couple of other guys from school. I shone my phone light on the window and slid it open. Unlocked. I took a breath of relief before I became irritated.
Any criminal could just waltz up here and have instant access to his house. I hefted myself inside. It had been a while since I'd done this, and my knees scraped along the casing, scuffing my skin. I sucked in some air, and one foot found the carpet. My other leg, while swinging in, found a baseball trophy on his nightstand and knocked it to the ground. I cringed, but Cooper didn't stir. I turned on his nightstand lamp and sat on the bed next to his shirtless body. When had he started sleeping without a shirt?
I really should have just texted him.
I shook his shoulder. Hey, wake up. He grunted and turned onto his side, away from me.
Cooper, I whispered,
running a finger along his back.
I'll clean my room later,
he said. I shook his shoulder harder. Wake up. It's me, Abby.
Abby?
He asked, rubbing his eyes and squinting against the light. Yes. I thought of a way to check another item off the list. He sat up, his eyes finally coming into focus. He glanced at the window over my shoulder.
You're right. Waking up before the sun is a huge fear of mine. Go ahead and check it off.
Nope. This doesn't count for that. He lay back down and pulled the blankets over his head.
Then let me sleep.
Seriously, Cooper, wake up. I didn't account for this taking 15 minutes. We have a time constraint here, and if we miss the window, I'm going to be back again tomorrow at 4:30.
It's 4:30?
He asked in exasperation. We are going to see life come into the world.
Someone is having a baby right now? Who?
Of course not. I pulled off his covers. Get up. Put a shirt on, brush your teeth, and meet me outside. I quickly averted my gaze as he climbed out of bed. Boxer shorts and all. And pulled on the pair of jeans that were in a crumpled heap on the floor beside his dresser.
I hate you so much right now,
he said. I smiled and headed for the still open window. I'm okay with that.
This better be good,
he said, when he came out through the front door and joined me outside 5 minutes later. It will be. I tugged on his arm, pulling him to my car.
Like, life-changing good. I don't even wake up this early for school.
As I drove, I explained. So, we have seen about 1,000 sunsets.
Yes, we live by the beach. Ocean sunsets are pretty much unavoidable.
You act like we should try to avoid them. They're gorgeous.
No, I just mean, if we're at the beach when the sun is setting, that's it. It's the ocean and the sun. It cannot be missed.
Yes, but when have you ever watched the sun rise? I grabbed hold of his bicep and gave it an excited shake to try and sell my pitch. He was silent for a minute before he said,
Never. I value my sleep.
Exactly. Me too. But besides that, there's nothing spectacular about it, because of all the houses and buildings and stuff in the way.
True.
So, we are going up the mountain. We are going to see it rise in splendor. We are going to see life come into the world.
Ugh. Look at you being all metaphorical and stuff.
I smiled.
I still hate you.
I laughed. I had researched this well. The perfect spot to watch the sunrise that was less than an hour away from our houses. Did I not tell my mom and grandpa because it felt a little like a romantic gesture? Maybe. I could imagine the look my mom would give me and the joke my grandfather would make, and had decided I just didn't feel like dealing with either. Besides, it wasn't romantic. It was on my list. I committed to doing my list. This was another event to bring me depth. That was the mantra I kept mentally repeating that made this all seem perfectly normal, at least. When we arrived, I pulled a blanket out of my trunk.
Why didn't you bring two blankets? You are a notorious blanket hog,
Cooper said. What? I am not.
Do I need to go down the list of times you've hogged the blanket? Most of them involve movie nights.
I pointed to a bag in the trunk. Stop whining. I brought you donuts.
You brought donuts?
He snatched up the bag and opened it.
And chocolate milk, too? Okay, I don't hate you anymore.
That's what I thought. There was a picnic bench, and Cooper sat down immediately and started to pull out a donut. Wait, don't touch. We're not there yet.
Not where yet?
We were at the bottom of a trail. I pointed to the top.
What? You're going to make me hike?
That is not a hike. That is a 5-minute walk.
Hiking is when you have to walk uphill for any length of time. Therefore, that is a hike.
That is not the definition of a hike.
Then what is the definition?
He asked, reluctantly standing. I'm not sure, but not that. The sky was lightning, and I knew we didn't have a lot of time. I put the blanket over my arm and led the way. Cooper grabbed the bag full of sugar and followed behind. The top had a gorgeous view, a valley of green blanketed scenery. It was hard to believe I'd never been up here before. With the ocean 5 minutes away from my house, complete with its own set of hills and cliffs and hiking trails, it wasn't often I went seeking nature in the opposite direction. From here, I couldn't see the ocean, even though I knew it was somewhere behind us. I settled against a tree, facing east, and Cooper sat down next to me.
Can I eat these yet?
Yes, eat. It was really cold, and the air smelled of pine and dirt. I draped the blanket over my shoulders and watched the sky.
You want one?
He asked, with his mouth full of donut. In a minute. I checked my phone. We had more time than I thought. Sunrise was at 5:43 today, and it was just after 5:30. Cooper held up the half gallon of chocolate milk.
Is this to share?
Yes.
Okay. Just gauging how much to drink.
I nudged him with my shoulder and he smiled. If he stopped smiling so much, my life would be a whole lot less complicated. He passed me the carton and I took a drink. Chocolate milk makes everything better, I said.
I agree.
He leaned back against the tree, then tugged on a corner of the blanket.
Hey, blanket hog. You gonna share?
I lifted the half of the blanket closest to him, and he wrapped it around his shoulder, which pulled me up against him.
You're warm,
he said, inching even closer. I've heard the coldest time of day is right before sunrise. That moment in time when the earth has been without light the longest. And then the sun rises and slowly warms up the world again. Cooper reached around my waist and tickled me.
That sounded like a Discovery Channel narration. It would be accompanied by a slow camera pan across a scene like this right before sunrise. Take out your phone. Let's do that.
No. This is a no-technology moment. His hand that had reached around my back to tickle me was still there, now resting on my hip. I closed my eyes for a second and concentrated on pushing feelings down. I'd gotten so good at it this last year, it was almost second nature.
I'm going to take Rose out tomorrow night. Where should I take her?
My eyes flew open.
Who? You know, that girl I've been texting.
He took his arm back, resting it on his knee. Right, Riss. Yes, I knew that. I thought you were going to take her to Lacey's party.
I am. But I mean, like, a real date.
Aren't we going to the movie on the beach tomorrow night?
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that. We'll go next time for sure.
For sure. I wasn't disappointed, I told myself. This helped even more with that feeling-smashing thing.
So where should I take her?
I don't know, I said.
I don't know her.
I know, but where do girls like to go on dates?
You're the one who takes girls out, not me. He huffed.
But you are a girl.
I am? Thank goodness I have you to tell me these things. He squeezed my knee.
Be serious. Help me.
I thought back to dates I'd had over the years. They were all pretty basic. Movies, dinner, beach. I don't know. I don't go out much.
Well, think about it for a minute. Your perfect date. Where would you like a guy to take you?
A perfect date was different from one that had actually happened. A perfect date required imagination. My grandpa said there's this amazing underground garden somewhere close. I think that would be cool. For me, at least. Things like that gave me inspiration to paint.
Good idea. I've heard about that, too. I'm surprised you haven't been to it.
I know. Me, too. We're always busy doing other things. I turned back toward the view in front of us. Oh, shh, look, here it comes. I gestured toward the mountain in the distance with my head.
We have to be quiet while it rises,
he whispered.
Shh.
For some reason, I did want to watch it in silence. He seemed to sense I was serious, because he didn't say another word. And we both sat, taking it in. The rays came first, stretching across a section of the mountain, making it look like it had caught fire. And then slowly, 1 millimeter at a time, the sun showed itself. It looked smaller than I thought it would, but the higher it rose, the brighter the sky became. For the first time since we'd arrived, I heard birds chirping above us. I had never watched the world come alive like this before. It was gorgeous how something could go from dreary, cold, and gray to full of light in such a short amount of time. I breathed in the air, which was still cold despite how warm the sky looked. Beside me, I could feel Cooper draw his breaths, too. And with each of those breaths, my body leaned in until my cheek rested on his shoulder.
How much longer are we staying?
Cooper asked, when the sun was well above the mountain. I thought we'd stay for a week.
Only if we get more donuts.
He set the bag with my donut inside on the ground in front of me.
This doesn't mean you're a morning person now, does it?
No way. But I'm glad we did this.
Me too.
He looked at me, our faces so close together. I could see the flecks of gray in his blue eyes.
Let's go,
Cooper said, jostling me as he stood up. Yes, let's go. 14.
Here's those dried crickets.
Grandpa held the small clear bag up in my doorway.
You left them in with the other groceries.
Oh, right. I'm trying to forget I thought they were a good idea.
Crickets are always a good idea.
He set them on the end of my bed, then left. It had been 3 days since the early morning sunrise outing. Since then, I had visited a soup kitchen and helped serve dinner, for the service experience on my list. It was both fulfilling and depressing. I didn't like to imagine children without food, but it was hard to deny it when they stood in that line, waiting for a ladle full of the chicken noodle soup I had served. I wished I had thought to do something like that on my own, without a list forcing me to. I signed a volunteer form when I left, and let the director know she could call me when they were shorthanded. I'd gone to the shelter without Cooper. In fact, I hadn't seen Cooper since watching the sunrise. I tried not to think about why. Had he taken risks out? Was he spending every spare minute with her since then? Hey, if you're still doing the list with me, you need to find a service experience. I did mine yesterday.
Done and done. I'm doing service right now. My dad volunteered me to paint some guy's house. Paint. A house. Painting is your thing.
Oh, so it wasn't Riss that was keeping him busy. He actually had a real excuse. That shouldn't have made me so relieved. Not that kind of painting.
I'm on day 3 here.
I texted back. So can we add painting to your skill set now?
Of course. I'm awesome. But that's beside the point. The point is that I'm tired and sore and want to be done.
You're not done yet?
I think we'll finish up today.
Nice.
First, some crazy whack job got me up at 4:30, and then my dad's been waking me up at 6. Not cool. When this is over, I will soak in an ice bath and sleep for a week. Followed by my best friend giving me a massage.
Justin's home?
Funny.
I would not be giving Cooper a massage. That would send me into major relapse. It was hard enough looking at his body. I didn't need to feel it as well.
4:30 in the morning. You owe me.
That's why I brought you donuts. I owe you nothing. He sent me back the pile of poop emoji and I laughed. I pocketed my phone and made my way back to my art room. I'd set up a canvas yesterday before work, and it still sat on its easel. Only a coat of white primer to show for my time. I had been avoiding it. My initial thought was to paint the sunrise. I had pulled out all my warm colors, reds and oranges and yellows, and they still sat on the dresser waiting for me. But as I looked at them, it seemed like such a literal interpretation. I remembered how cold that morning had been, how it smelled like pine and made my nose numb, how the birds hadn't come alive until the sun was sitting on the mountain. I remembered the feeling of life being awakened a little bit at a time. Awakened. I took out more tubes of paint, gray and black and silver. At the bottom of the canvas, I started with cool colors. I drew rusty dried leaves and black bare trees and silver sleeping birds. As I moved up the canvas, I added more colors and more life until I reached the tops, where the birds burst out from the green mountain, their flight mimicking the rays of the sun. The sky behind them, bright and yellow.
Wow.
I thought I taught you not to sneak up on me when I'm painting. That could have sent my brush across the canvas. I managed not to jump. Barely. Cooper was normally a quiet observer until he saw me back away from the canvas.
Sorry. I should know that, seeing as how I'm an expert painter now.
True. I should just let you finish this for me, I teased.
No way. That's amazing. I love it.
You love everything I paint.
It's true. But this one is different. Are those birds dead?
He was referring to the ones on the bottom.
That's a little dark for you.
They're not dead. They're sleeping. Do they look dead?
They look cool. This is supposed to be the sunrise, isn't it?
That was my inspiration. I set my palette on the hutch to my right, the one whose drawers were full of art supplies, and turned to Cooper. I thought you were going straight to bed for a... I stopped.
Whoa!
You have paint all over you!
I know! That's why I had to come by here first. It was important for me to show you that we're twins now.
I smiled and stepped forward. I don't think I've ever managed to get this much paint on me. Did you bathe in it? I pinched a section of his shirt between my fingers and pulled it away from his body. Coral? You painted the house coral?
It's not coral. I think the official name is soft peach.
I bit my lip and dropped his shirt. I now had some soft peach on my thumb and pointer finger. I wiped it on his cheek, and he scrunched his nose.
The house actually didn't turn out half bad.
Huh. Well, I'm surprised my mom let you in looking like that.
Your mom loves me.
This was true.
Besides, she's used to letting people covered in paint walk around this house.
His finger brushed along my collarbone, tracing a line of paint I had there. Tingle shot down my arms and I took a step back.
How do you get paint on your neck anyway?
He asked. The same way you did.
Have I left any clothes over here lately?
I think your board shorts are still here. He turned and headed for my room. I shook out my still tingling arms and followed after him. Why? I asked.
Because I'm going to shower here, and then you're going to work a knot out of my neck.
No, I'm not. He went to the corner of my room, where his clothes were still draped over my chair. He picked up the shorts, snapped my leg with them, then headed for the door. What about the shirt? I asked. He waved his hand through the air.
It's dirty.
But you need a shirt. I went to my closet and flipped through my stacks until I found the biggest one I owned, then tossed it to him. He held it up.
You want me to wear a hot pink breast cancer run shirt?
Yes. He shrugged.
Okay.
Oh, and before you shower, I got something. I snatched the crickets off the end of my bed and held them up for Cooper to see while I pointed at the list. Try something new.
What is it?
Try crickets.
Crickets? Are you being serious?
I tore open the bag and poured them into my hand. There were six of them. Cooper stepped closer, took one off my extended palm, and popped it into his mouth.
Hmm, salty.
Then he walked to the door. I let out a huff of air. I'd hoped he'd put up more of a fight than that. I'd hoped that maybe I'd found something he was afraid of. When he got to the door, he turned.
Are you going to try one?
Without thinking too hard, I stuck one in my mouth and chewed it up quickly. He was right. It was salty and crunchy and tasted a bit like dry grass. That wasn't too bad.
Not at all. But that doesn't count for me.
What? Why?
I've eaten dried crickets before.
I threw the rest of them at him, but they landed on my floor 5 feet away. You brat. Well, it counted for me.
Okay, but we have to try something new together, too. Something we both haven't done. Something epic. Like that sunrise.
I smiled, hearing he thought our outing was epic. Okay. He backed out of my room, and I watched him disappear behind the bathroom door across the hall. 15. You really shouldn't shower here, I called out to him. Like I needed the person I was trying not to be in love with waltzing around my bathroom. Showering. I thought he hadn't heard me, but the door popped back open and he leaned out.
What?
Gah, I was being ridiculous. He'd showered here before. Nothing. Go shower. I picked up the dried crickets from the carpet and deposited them in my trash. Then I added another checkmark to my list. I was still on track. 3 paintings almost done and nearly half my list. I was convinced I could make the deadline now, but not completely convinced Mr. Wallace would see any growth. Different didn't necessarily mean better. When I walked by the bathroom, Cooper was humming some tune I didn't recognize. I joined my grandpa and mom in the living room.
"Where's Cooper? Trailing more coral paint through the house," Grandpa asked.
"Coral, right? I'm glad we agree on the color." I gestured down the hall with my head and sat down. He's washing the coral paint down the drain. My mom, who had been sitting on the couch reading her true crime book, raised her eyebrows. "How's the list coming?" "Pretty good. I still have a few to do. But I am halfway in love, according to Grandpa." "Oh, yes. I heard about Elliot," she said. "You two are like gossipy tweens. No secrets can be shared here." "I am a vault," my mom said in faux offense.
"And I am the safe inside the vault," my grandpa said.
I rolled my eyes. "We don't tell anyone else," Mom said.
I almost said, "Of course you don't. You don't see anyone else." But there was some sarcasm even I resisted. Well, except